One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
We're back, all three of us, on the show.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, you were at Comic-Con. You missed two fucking episodes.
Yeah.
I just got to get something off my chest. A little pissed off at you. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
I was under the
impression... First of all, you're pissed off at everyone for everything, but let's hear this.
I was under the impression that you had passes to Comic-Con on the days that you missed. And I was like, oh, understandable. It's once a year. Come to find out, the day that you skipped taping, you didn't fucking have a pass. You were just loitering outside the building.
Correct.
Why?
Dave is like the guy who, when the movie comes out, he doesn't have a ticket to the movie, but he waits in that long line around the building with everybody else.
He's like the guy.
And then I just head down, walk past the guy at the door, hope he doesn't notice.
He's like this guy I know that travels great distances from like Jersey to Boston to go see concerts that he doesn't have a ticket for and just hopes everything will work out.
Wow.
And sometimes it does. Like sometimes it does, but other times it doesn't. And he's indignant about it. He's like, that's bullshit. I went all the way to Jersey to Boston to see the fucking Misfits and they're fucking no tickets.
Wait, Dave, so were you trying to like get a scalped ticket? Did you have a game plan or were
no,
you like...
No, you can't scalp tickets. I was just down there hanging out. Like Comic-Con's my jam. You guys know that. I go all the time. I fucking enjoy the shit outside of the convention center. To do. There's all kinds of fun stuff to do.
But you couldn't skip it for an hour to come to the show.
No, I am not going downtown in the afternoon on a Saturday during Comic Con.
I'm
going
to be downtown on a Saturday.
That would have been a 2-hour journey just to get back downtown. So fuck no.
Okay, fine. Any standouts, any highlights? Bring us up to speed.
It was fun. It was John Grubbs' first year, which is fun. I got to sort of Sherpa him around a little bit.
Yeah.
He had no idea what he was in for. He was surprised how crowded it was.
He's got what I have. He hates crowds and has like anxiety about it. I know this because we freak out about things together.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
totally.
So how did he manage himself okay?
Yeah, he did pretty well.
All
right. For myself, I got to see the Conan taping, which was fun. I got to do a Rotten Tomatoes panel. Where I get to try to convince some experts that Baby Driver was a shitty movie.
All right.
That was a good week. I had fun.
I do like the idea of not liking crowds and going to Comic-Con, because realistically, that's like, man, I hate black people. I'm going to Cameroon tomorrow. Like, that's my game plan.
I'm just there for the butts.
All right.
There's an annual contest in San Diego, a comedy contest.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think it's on its eighth or ninth year, Dave?
Eighth year.
Okay, because I was in the first ever one. I placed fourth in that, and the pool was a lot more shallow back then.
Right, right.
But anyways, it's every year. It takes 6 months.
Eight months. Yeah.
And like every comic in the city pretty much enters, and a lot of non-comics. There's only probably like 50 comics in the city,
right?
But 200 people enter.
Right, for sure.
And first few rounds is like why you watch American Idol in the first few episodes.
Yeah.
You got your William Hungs in there going, So,
he actually entered this year. It's going to be fun.
You know, you got the person that like doesn't understand you had to come with your own material. You know, it's just like he's up there like doing Stephen Wright bits. But I'd enter every year, and this is the first... I think the first time that I've decided I'm not only not going to do it anymore, I've made it to the finals a couple times, but I don't think I'm going to do contests in general for at least a little while. And let me tell you why.
I'm the same way, and I'm going to tell you what I did.
Okay.
I was in the contest the first few years. I missed the first. I was in like the third and fourth year, something like that. The year I did the best, I got into, there's five rounds.
Yeah.
Fifth round of the finals. I got into the third round. I came very, very close to making it to the fourth, but I missed out. And basically what they told me is if I had brought just one person with me to vote me first place, I would have advanced on points.
Yeah.
Well, that's so at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm over it. I have too thin skin to take that kind of rejection. I'm too emotionally fragile. So I instead volunteered to help run the contest.
Right.
Not going to be in it. I'll help put it on.
And that backfired on Dave because every time someone loses,
they come at me. Yeah.
Yeah. A sternly worded, you're racist, you're misogynistic, the works.
Oh, yeah.
But, anyways, the reason I really don't like comedy contests, and I felt this way for a while, but I'm masochistic, so I just kept putting myself through it, is that I see comedy contests The same way the guys from Loveline, Carolla and Dr. Drew, say you shouldn't have a threesome unless you're really secure in your relationship.
Well, I actually think they said that you shouldn't have a threesome unless you're willing to lose your relationship.
And here's why, is that'll bring up the insecurities to the surface.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. The sad truth about comedy contests is, first of all, they're never fair unless you've won them. Yeah, so that's right. Number one. I'm not going to pretend to be not one of those guys.
Yeah.
But there's a million ways that they can be manipulated, and beyond the sense that, you know, art shouldn't be judged. What's the word I'm looking for?
Subjective. Right. Yeah.
So the thing is, like, I think we've all been in a comedy contest where, like, you know, you do really good. There's a lot of solid comics. And then one guy gets up there and pulls out a guitar, and you're like,
Oh, fuck, here we go. Yeah.
Or some guy's got a puppet, and everyone goes, ooh, how delightfully different than everyone else. And he wins just based on that. I was at one where I crushed. I'm like, it was only a one-nighter. So I'm like, oh, I got this one. Some dude got up there with an electric keyboard, and he starts playing, and everyone starts, like, dancing and clapping their hands to his catchy little tune.
Yeah.
And I remember just paying my bar tab and be like, fucking asshole, and left. And yes, he won. So there's that. There's what Dave mentioned, like, people that are new can come and bring all of their office friends.
Yep.
And then that's one of the biggest reasons I won't be in them anymore, because, like, last year, some new guy brought, I don't know, 12 friends to, like, one of his beginning rounds, and it knocked me right out. Yeah. And I heard him on the phone afterwards, like, yeah, I beat all the veteran guys here. This guy's doing like 9 years. I'm like, now he gets that. Yeah. Now he gets to go say, I beat a guy I've been doing it for 9 years.
Right.
It's his second time doing it.
And he doesn't even understand what he did. He doesn't even understand he manipulated the system.
Well, yes, and he didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
What really sucks, and I've seen this, which is really hard. Dave actually had me judge a year one time, and I saw this and I watched this happen, which is you can see who's coming from who. Not only because in the beginning they're talking and chatting with their friend before he's super excited to get on stage. What ends up happening is they basically stonewall the other good comedians, because your audience is like, I don't want to laugh for these other guys if my buddy's going to in the contest, you know. And this guy, and you can see the progression where they'll giggle a little in the beginning, and as a good comedian gets funnier and funnier, they start getting more stonewalled because they're like, oh shit, this guy's going to knock my buddy out. So the better that person is, the more their loyal friends will, like, purposely not laugh at them. It becomes the reverse of comedy, where it's not the audience and you going on this journey. It's like the audience, like, I don't know, he's not on my team, I better not laugh.
Yeah, and you'll know it too when, like, they're announcing everyone. They'll be like, Dave Callens. Yay.
Yeah.
Ryan Shores. Yay. Joey Roastbeef. Ah! And you're like, oh, fuck you.
To
I know
be fair,
you
Joey
did.
Roastbeef's really funny.
Yeah.
Now, every once in a while, it does be fair when it's not supposed to be. I remember years back at a Winston's contest, a friend of ours brought a bunch of people, didn't advance.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I say this as somebody who runs the Kumite, which is a nightly open mic contest. And the reason that it's a little different, I think, is, like, one is ours isn't a big deal. You're not encouraged to bring a whole bunch of people. It's just a nightly thing. And so you could come back and do it the next night. What I feel bad for is those people who are 6 months into something. And I've seen this. They're 6 months into this contest. They are clearly the best comedian of the night. And they end up getting skipped over because everybody's either not only just voting for their friends, but then voting for the not funniest person, so their friend has a better chance of taking that spot.
There's that. It's all these things. Like I was trying to say, is that there's a lot to hate about being in any type of entertainment. It's competitive, it's bullshit, there's politics, blah, blah, blah. But a contest will bring to the surface all the things you hate about stand-up.
Right.
And also, it'll take a night where everyone had a good set. Like, if this was just a regular showcase, like, damn, I killed. All of a sudden, hey, Ryan, you didn't advance. This night's the worst!
Right.
Fuck!
Yeah.
That brings up another thing, is that your self-esteem is on the line with these things. And some of these contests, like this one, the World Series of Comedy, your chances of winning are 1 in 200 just at the surface, not counting all the politics and people that will be friends and all of that. So when you really think about it, you have like a 1 in 500 chance. And so in the one off chance you win, you feel pretty good. But there's a 499 out of 500 chance that your self-esteem is going to be hurt.
Oh,
for sure. When you lose a contest, just like a share this video and win a chance to win a t-shirt. If you don't win that, someone doesn't come to you and go, hey, the thing that you love most, you're bad at.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a registered nurse. Are you a registered nurse? You're bad at it because you didn't win this t-shirt. Bye.
I've had a comic get mad at me and yell at me after not advancing because I encouraged them to enter. Like, they were... Yeah.
Okay, that's a little misguided, to say the least.
But people get mad about this shit, and I get it. I get it. I get mad. That's why I stopped doing them.
And I don't... I think this is pretty much common knowledge now. Like, I've done a few shows with that fan, and I know he was the winner of...
Last Comic Standing.
He knew, because he was told, that he'd be winning that, like, 4 episodes before they completed the taping of that.
Somebody told me a few years back, someone told me who was going to win the World Series of Comedy that year.
Yeah.
Like early, I was like, oh shit, I had no idea it was like one of those things.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And, you know, that's fine. People have their favorites, but I can't let it like affect me anymore. Funny story about my history with comedy contests. I never won the San Diego one, but like I'd go to other ones. This one year I won the Orange County Funniest Person contest, and I unseated the previous champion, Keith Carey. You guys know him?
Oh yeah.
And he went on to do some good things. You know, he was a good sport about it, but I beat Keith. And then after I did that,
Ryan was on the phone. I just beat this guy. He's got 9 years experience.
Yeah. But like I realized, I'm like, Orange County Funniest Person, who could possibly care? There's no comics here. And that's when I realized, shit, does every shit little town like have one of these? And I started Googling, and they do.
Absolutely.
So I was this is my third year doing comedy where I'm not getting a lot of paid bookings.
Yeah.
I was driving to shitty little towns and just being like the ringer in their little fucking comedy.
El Centro's funniest man.
No, better. I won the Riverside funniest person. Yeah, Inland Empire funniest person. I would just go out there and it'd mostly guys just from this awful nothing of a town who are doing comedy for their third time in front of an audience because they have no other options. They're not driving to L.A. and San Diego. And I just come in like, oh, what's a good contest? I'd just be a bumpkin. But once in a while, there is a risk, I'd drive all the way out there to wherever, and also I'd see some L.A. comic out there doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, you fuck. Like, that's right, man. I'm here too. I'm like, now I might have risked this and not get paid.
See, you missed the opportunity by driving out there because you could have been Southwest Flight 787's funniest person on the way out there.
Now, you and I were talking about a different type of contest earlier today.
Yeah, there's sometimes, and this happens quite a bit, not just in comedy, I'll tell you how else, is... we saw a contest for, I want to play this one a little closer to the vest, but there's this contest happening in town right now at one of the bigger clubs where the winner gets an amazing spot on a festival, okay? And there's only like 5 or 6 people competing for it.
Mm.
And me and Dave and a few of our other friends, we saw the list of people. And at first we were enraged. We're like, what? It's like hobby comic. Hardly does it. Like, you know, awful. And like, and we're like, what the hell? And then there was...
First of all, they should have better promos on their flyers because those are just bad titles.
And then one guy who's legit. And also, like, they were still upset about it. But then it clicked for me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I see what's going on. This is a fixed fight for this good comic. I'm like, guys, calm down. You should be happy that you're not the other comics on this list because evidently they just set up some tomato cans for this guy to knock down.
But why would they do that? Wouldn't they want to have 5 good comics? Why would they put shitty...
No, because I see this happen a lot in small-time mixed martial arts promotions, which is this. They have a guy they like. He's fairly talented to medium talent, but they like him. He's their boy. So in their little small promotion, whatever it be, Total Combat, Cage Wars, who cares? They create a title belt for him. Okay. They're like, all right, we're introducing a middleweight title. And then they take him and they put him against an assistant high school wrestling coach from fucking Iowa with 0-1, never taking a punch. And they bill it as like, oh, it's going to be a clash of the titans. And then, oh, surprise, he won in the first round. Wow. What a Cinderella story. So just like that, this club likes this guy. So they unfortunately put him against people that are not of his ilk because I know they have access to people that are as good as him,
right.
But they wouldn't risk that because it's one spot and he then represents them. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So, I mean, that's just my perception. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Now, the way you are with contests now, I'm getting that way with festivals.
Yeah.
Because I once in a while submit to a festival and, you know, maybe cool trip out of town, whatever. There was 2 this summer that caught my eye. There's one in Cleveland. and one in Detroit. Detroit's my hometown.
Oh, you got it.
And I'm like, you know, they're both pretty cheap to enter. And I just happen to have, in doing 11 years of comedy, I currently have the best tape of myself that I've had ever.
Okay.
It's a great tape, hot crowd, big laughs. All my jokes are tight and all the jokes hit. So I'm like, I'm going to enter both of these. Very cheap, great tape. And hoping that the festival promoter's like, oh, here's a guy from the West Coast. He's from this area. Sure, let's bring, whatever. Like maybe
I've had those fantasies about what people would say about me.
So just even get some consideration, like, oh, this guy should be in the festival, whatever. Got rejected from both in the same week. And I was like, you know what? Fuck festivals. I'm done with festivals. Fuck festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, David, side note. I don't know if you've looked this up, but you can buy houses in Detroit on eBay for like $2,000, like five-bedroom houses in Detroit.
Probably, in a war zone. You'll never get there.
I mean, like I said, in Detroit.
You'll never make it to the house.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're going to go there with like five comics, instead of getting a hotel room or an Airbnb, just buy a house and just, you know.
Your realtor would be like, I'm not taking you there. Are you crazy?
Whichever comic doesn't get murdered wins.
Yeah.
It's more of a Hunger Games type situation.
So Dave, you wouldn't know this because you've been gone for the past few weeks, but I'm running this field school up in the mountains right now with a whole bunch of kids, and it's pretty hot down here in the
Dave,
city.
Do you even listen to the show when you're not on it?
He doesn't listen when he is on it.
Oh, I know, but that's because he can't stand his own voice and repeat the same conversations. But when you're not on it, do you tune in?
Bobby's doing a survival school for kids, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's got a bunch of kids.
So that's a no then. Yeah.
Cut the jugular. Now, so I take him up there, and it's pretty hot down here in the city, but it's super hot up in the mountains, like 100 something degrees, right? So these kids, and I always forget this because I work with archaeologists and biologists and stuff all the time. And in that job, you just kind of get used to the heat and you get used to not complaining. And it's just part of the gig. And you realize that every time you complain about the heat, it's just annoying everybody else who's in the exact same
Unless
heat.
There's a Jewish archaeologist and suddenly he's like, oh, I vey, there's no bottled water up here. Yeah.
No, like you don't complain because you understand that everybody else is in the heat too. And complaining just makes it worse for everybody.
Sure.
And nobody needs to hear that you're hot. Guess what? Everybody's hot.
Yeah. Like, I love that guy stating the obvious. Yeah. Oh, it's hot. Yeah. This line is long. Thanks, pal.
So I forget that these are just kids and they're, you know, and still in undergrad and stuff. So we take them up there and they start at like 90 degrees, start wilting, and I realize like, oh, this is a problem because it's 10 a.m.
I was like, if you pass out, I'm going to assume you're dead and bury you here.
No, I didn't come find you with my next class.
Nah, I just chief them. I got those, where I just get a magic marker out, start drawing on their face. No, but so they start getting hot, and I realize like, oh, shit. We got to get something to mediate this, to help these kids out. So we started doing all these like, all right, what do we do? What are the tricks we can do? All right, we'll bring pop-ups out and they can do 10 minutes underneath that. Oh, that's not working. All right, get ice packs and throw it on the back of their neck. Okay, it's kind of working not so well. Start doing fucking ice bucket challenges with them. So here's my question.
I was like, rear naked choke. They won't be bothered by the heat because they'll be unconscious.
That's a good plan, actually. Well, hold that up because I got a question for you guys.
It's not, but go ahead.
I got a question for you guys. What would your solution to this be? Because as you guys know, I'm not somebody who's really bothered by heat. It doesn't bother me that much, so I haven't spent a lot of time.
Oh, that's right. It's weird for you because you really don't see what they're going through.
Right. I just like, it's just one of those things. Like, yeah, you just.
That'd be like someone telling me and Dave, like, I'm too drunk, and we're like, we don't know what you're talking about, man.
I said,
thanks for nothing, loser.
I'm convinced Bobby's a cyborg.
Wait, you mean hungover? That's the negative connotation I have with drinking. Yeah, so what do you guys do? What is my solution to these 19-year-old kids who, let's just call them soft. What is my solution to these soft kids who can't handle the heat?
Don't be in the mountains.
Yeah, that's during the summer, yeah.
Choose a different field.
Yeah.
Well, what I used to like to do is I would soak myself in water, but it sounds like you tried that.
Yeah.
That's only good for a while. I'm not the guy to ask because I bought that redneck hot tub for the, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but, I went to Walmart and got one of those $80, like, I wouldn't say the whole thing's inflatable, just the top ring is inflatable, the rest is rubber, but as you fill it up, the ring rises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it creates the adult version of that plastic kiddie pool thing you sat in as a toddler. Like, it fits my whole body and four other people, I know, because me and my friends jumped in one night and all of a sudden realized how homoerotic we were being in that carrot stew. But But anyways, I bought this thing. It was great because I'm out here in 110 degree heat outside my house. This neighborhood's the suburbs now, but it's meant to be a desert, essentially. It's built on top of a desert. Filled it up with a hose one day, jumped in. I was happy as a retard at Chuck E. Cheese. And then
I'm going to cut that.
Okay. and then the following day, I'm like, I forgot that, you know, when you pour hose out, like you turn the hose on when it's been sitting out in the heat. The first,
yes.
first blast yeah, of water
first
is hot.
First minute
yes.
is fucking hot.
Yeah.
I didn't make that correlation. Oh. So in this 100-degree heat, I go belly flopping into my fucking wading pool, not realizing it's now also 110 degrees
yeah,
in there.
It's a jacuzzi now.
And it looked like when the T-1000 got thrown into lava at the end of T2. I'm like, I start like changing into all the people I've done bad impersonations of.
I would have loved to see that.
It was horrible. So I don't know is the answer. I already fucked myself.
By the way, just so you know, that's not a redneck hot tub. A redneck hot tub is when you put a tarp in the back of a pickup truck and then you run a pipe from the exhaust of your pickup truck underneath the tarp through the bed to heat it and then turn the truck on and then you actually have the redneck hot tub.
Of course Bobby knows that.
Yeah, of course.
I don't have AC in my apartment. And it's been getting really fucking hot. So
you just ice bath or what do you do?
If I'll go see a movie, go to the mall, go someplace with AC. But if I'm home and I have nothing else to do, I'll take a few shirts, I'll throw them in the freezer, and then I'll put one on.
Hey, that's good. But that's
it lasts a few minutes, then I'll put another one
on.
That's
gonna help you.
I could have some in the freezer the night before and just bring it out in like a cooler
in
or
a
something.
Cooler?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right,
I like
that.
The shirt and do you have to like get them wet first?
It helps, but you don't have to.
Okay, so wet shirt in the freezer. I like that one. Honestly, it's weird, though, because...
Have you tried being close to death? I heard you're pretty cold.
Well, we have these kids, and it's funny, because they'll, like, look up, and they'll look at me with these dead eyes. They're completely sweating. Their face is gone. And I look at the clock, and I'm like, it's 9:30 in the
morning.
You have no idea what's about to happen.
Kids are soft these days.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of kids are soft these days... Can I tell you, there was an incident that inspired me saying this, but can I tell you how much I love it when someone from the previous generation, I'm just going to say definitely baby boomers, that's who I'm talking about, Gen X kind of mind their P's and Q's.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the war of millennials versus baby boomers, everyone just forgot about Gen X. They're like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm going to go have a Crystal Pepsi. Fuck yeah. Generation next. So anyways, and a Bud Dry. I love it when baby boomers go on social media specifically with the intentions to insult and troll.
To attack somebody,
say
yeah.
Say mean things, sometimes apropos of nothing. Just right. Just like, hey, bitch, you're fucking ugly. If I was ugly as you, I'd kill myself. Ha ha! Sorry there, millennial crybaby snowflake. Guess you're going to have to cry because you're not as tough as my generation. And they don't realize everyone can see their comment.
Right.
Because they don't know how the internet works. Or even if they can't, like the person like screenshots it and makes it its own post. And then all of a sudden the people are like, hey, why are all these people contacting me? Hey, stop it. Oh shit, people are saying weird things about me now. Oh come on, that's not fair. I'm sensitive. This isn't how you treat people. This is not how you treat people. Stop it.
The best is when they reach the inevitable result that baby boomers always do is, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I'm suing the internet. Okay, my grandson just informed me you can't sue the internet.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. I've contacted the police. Oh, this one. This is harassment.
Yeah.
I've contacted the police. Good fucking luck with that.
Right. The cops are like sitting there dealing with actual crimes since they get to go, excuse me? Somebody said something mean to you on the internet. Oh, okay. Yeah, hold on. We're sending three detectives down now.
As we've talked about on the show, I was gang beaten in my apartment by my neighbors who I could point out, and the cops went, nothing we could do.
Yeah.
So if there's people like, people are being mean on Facebook, I'm like, please just tape that call when you call 911, please.
Right.
Just fucking, I need to hear what they say.
All the cops be like, what's your name on Facebook? And then they add him as a friend. Now the cops start talking shit.
911's for emergencies, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this actually happened to a friend of ours this week. And it was funny because she was a comedian. And there are things that you can poke out about anybody. If you're a smart troll, you would do that. You can find the best looking, smartest, richest person and you can troll them. And there's plenty of evidence of people doing that to celebrities all the time.
Right.
But what's funny is when somebody is so bad at trolling that they don't understand what hot button issue to push because they picked this young lady who is beautiful, like absolutely beautiful, and they're like, you're ugly. That was their insult. It's like, pick another thing. She has red hair. Make fun of her for being a ginger like I did to that dude on the last episode.
Now, the extra layer of irony was the person calling her ugly was very ugly.
Well, that's usually the case, isn't it? Like,
yeah, she had a face that looked like a 50-year-old heavy bag, like in a Brooklyn boxing gym.
She had a face that docked a thousand ships. Let's just say that. It was outrageous because it, like, how could you not realize what a Windex clean glass house you live in?
Yeah, right.
How could you not see yourself? That'd be like if me going like, hey, dude, you have a weird punched-in nose and you have a receding hairline.
Nice raspy voice, asshole.
Nice raspy voice. Where'd you get those sideburns? The Civil War? And all of a sudden, hey, stop it. Stop saying that back to me.
It was great, yeah, because she basically did what anybody who is a comedian should do, which is she just screenshotted it, put it on her own profile, and then the rest of us comedians are kind of like sharks when we smell blood in the water. We're gonna circle, and I didn't catch on. I didn't see this thing until 9 hours after it started. It already had, I think, like 241
It was
comments.
Almost 400 by the time I saw it.
It was crazy, and I looked at it, I was like, whoa, did I miss something that happened 2 weeks ago? No. This happened before
and
I went to work.
This person was responding to every person who said something to her, which is the greatest gift you can possibly receive is when this person thinks this 60-year-old dirtbag is just like, oh no, everyone's getting a reply. I'll get to you. So, and you just keep insulting them. And yes, it always goes from, oh, you're no prize either. well, you're... That's actually kind of mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, you know what? You know what? You people are bullies. Yeah, that's what it'll go to. You people are bullies.
Oh, you missed the whole thing where she was going to call the cops. Apparently, she had called the cops and was going to sue.
I did not miss it. I did not miss it. I was there with popcorn.
Now, one other person on this thread tried to be a proper troll, also failed.
So what happened was she very clearly got one of her friends, because there was another 50-year-old guy who
tried to call him at home. Yeah. He blew dust off his laptop and opened it up and went, now what's a Facebook?
and then he tried to come in and start insulting the same comedian, and then again just got beaten down by comment after
asunder. And that's what I love is this generation that likes to pride itself on being tough.
Right.
You know, we didn't need no smartphones. By the way, if you're telling a story that happened pre-2000, please exclude we didn't need no smartphone. Right. We got it. We didn't have no fancy phones, and we were tough back then. As soon as you call them a fucking dirty name, I am suing for slander.
Yeah,
you're going to jail for slander. First person in history.
And they legitimately think they have a case.
Oh, yes.
They honestly think that this is going to court, and some judge is going to be like, they said what about you?
Which is why I love Ryan's tactic, which is when it's similar to the dudes who threaten you online. I love Ryan's tactic of keeping an Excel sheet and then just constantly reminding the person, hey, you didn't do anything. You're never going to do anything. Like, I think that's brilliant, which is, I think, what we should continue to do to this woman. Hey, how's that lawsuit going?
Yeah.
Hey, did Aaron Brockovich take the case? Or are we just still waiting on this?
Hey, here's something to add to the lawsuit. You're a piece of shit.
Put that in my indictment.
Yeah.
Now, but the other guy, the quote-unquote assistants that she called in, he tried to be a proper troll, but he failed because first thing he said, which, Bobby, you point out to me because I saw this way late in the game.
Yeah.
He said, oh, you're a comedian? I've never heard of you.
Yeah.
Which I love when these baby boomers think that their opinion is like the entire world.
Oh,
like,
not just, well, I'm not going to single out that generation. That's an insult that I've heard time and time again from people. Hey, never heard of you. Like I'm gonna crumble.
Well, and his response was like, I've heard of Richard Pryor and I've heard of George Carlin, but I've never heard of you. It's like, really? Those are the only two comedians on earth? Well, then, okay, you have just told us you are not familiar with modern day comedians, and therefore your opinion means nothing.
And here's the other thing where these people, and again, it might not be generation, it might be everybody, Ryan, but where they think like their opinion is like fact.
Paramount.
Because what he said, the other thing he said to her is like, you're just like Samantha Bee. Nobody likes her either. And I'm like, okay. A lot of people like her. She has a TV show.
The person with the nationally syndicated TV show? Yeah, okay.
No, there's only...
So you don't like her. That means you think nobody does.
There's only one type of person that you're going to hurt with never heard of you. And they're very rare to find. Yeah. It will destroy someone if you find someone who was a celebrity in like the
90s. Oh, yeah.
And has slowly been on a decline. But, you know, as like a punchline, you
like
know.
Like the guy who played the Blue Genie in that show that
Beetleborgs.
Right, right, right. I thought you meant Robin Williams in Aladdin. So I'm like, what are you talking about?
That was
about?
Distasteful, Dave.
No, but like, if you say to Pauly Shore, never heard of it. Oh, he would crumble. If you say to Corey Feldman, never heard of you, he will weep. But for the rest of us that are on our way up or maybe even not, never heard of you, why would you have? I understand that.
Yeah, you hang around the comedy clubs a lot? If not, you wouldn't know me.
Do you go to the one bar where I get free drinks? If not, I imagine it'd be weird if you'd heard of me.
Right. Yeah, I think my response to that gentleman was, he's never heard of Candace, so apparently she doesn't exist. In related news, apparently high school diplomas and non-cousin genital touching also doesn't exist.
Yeah, you say...
It's too highbrow for a guy like that. Yeah, he's not going to get it.
You say, I never heard of you, and she starts drifting away like the end of Infinity War.
Yeah.
So,
spoiler alert.
Well, I've never seen the movie. I've just seen the memes. So I don't know. I don't even know who that happens to.
A fun thing to do in those situations, this was probably too far gone to do it, but a fun thing to do is like if that person were to say that to me, like, oh, I never heard of you, then you reply like, oh, thanks for the support. Or like just come at them like you think they're being supportive. And they're like, no, I'm trying to insult you.
Now you have. Next time someone says Ryan Shores, you'd be like, yeah, I've heard of it. Damn it. Yeah, but like we're living in a time where successful people aren't necessarily heard of. They aren't necessarily a household name, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of a lot of bands that, you know, if they go into the club they're playing, they better not leave the green room because they're gonna get mobbed.
Right.
But no one at this table besides me has heard of them. You know, I could say their name to 100 people and 99 people would not have heard of them. But you know that
including three guys in the band.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter these days because you find your niche. And so when someone says, never heard of you to me, I'm like, it is amazing how little insight you have to my psyche.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, nowadays with the way popularity works, there are people with millions of Twitter followers who make a very good living online who none of us have ever heard of,
right.
And 1,000 of our friends have never heard of.
Right, yeah. That whole thing was like, he's got 2 billion followers on Instagram. Like,
right.
What's he do? Nothing. Well, I mean, okay, it's hard to describe. He stacks chairs, but in a funny way. It's funny. These are the kind of people, by the way, that go to comedy clubs on like a fun date night, and afterwards, when you're trying to clear people out for the second fucking show, you can't because these assholes are on stage with their wife taking
people.
A picture of themselves. Ooh, take a picture of me with the microphone. I'm a comedian, everyone.
I've never understood that. These people will do it before the show and after the show. They'll go up on stage. They won't even ask. They'll just walk them on stage, take a picture. Like, why? What are you trying to accomplish? Like, I've never seen someone do that at a concert.
Yeah.
Like, get a picture of me on stage holding the guitar. Like, no one does that.
Yeah.
If you really want to freak him out, Dave, since you work there, you should just announce, like, actually, legally speaking, once you get up on stage, you have to do a set. So we're going to be starting pretty soon.
I would bet half the time those people would be excited to do so, and they would think they're going
to
crush.
They've got nothing to say.
Oh, they would pull their phone out. They would Google jokes.
Their friends would cheer for them. Like, they would, oh, my God.
They just won the contest.
Hold on. Scroll. Okay, so a Swede and a Nick. Oh my God! Okay, not that joke.
So they'd be like, "Hey, Jimmy, remember the break room the other day? We were talking about who left that sandwich in the fridge. Do you remember?" And like everyone would laugh.
So they call me Smiles at work, okay, because I'm always smiling. That's kind of my thing. And then this other girl, like, starts, and she's in accounting, and she looks just like me. So my boss called her Smirks because they call me Smiles. Remember from before?
Remember from before.
Okay. Not my audience.
All right, here's something else you can relate to, Shores, because I know you have some neighbors that you would say are bad dog owners.
Yes.
Now, I got the neighbors next to me. I live in I guess you'd call it a shitty part of town. It's not bad, but people say it's like the ghetto of San Diego, whatever. There's this family that just got a puppy next to me. And I know this because it's constantly in the yard, 24 hours a day, tied up in the yard, always barking.
Oh, dude.
I have never seen that dog not in the yard, which, first of all, why do you have a dog?
Right, why?
Why?
Why go through the expense and the
They have kids, too. It's not like the dog wouldn't be playing with them. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, you're having this thing that costs money and time and energy, and you're not going to at least take the joy of petting it?
Right. Obviously, it doesn't bark constantly, but it barks at all hours of the day. It'll bark at, like, 5 in the afternoon. It'll bark at 3 in the morning. It'll bark at 7 in the morning. Just always, like, all times a day, waking me up. I can't go back to sleep, all this shit.
And you live in an urban area. You're not like something like me. So totally. Is there a lot of like, shut the fuck
no,
up?
No, there's none of that.
No.
No.
You need more New Where Yorkers in your neighborhood.
Where are you on this?
I know. I don't want to be the one to do it. And everyone be like, hey, man. Like,
no,
I don't
you
got
to start a revolution. You are the Spartacus.
But he doesn't want it to come back to him. So, Dave, here's what you do. You got to set up like a walkie-talkie system where you can do it from your apartment, but it comes out of the apartment two doors down.
What am I, Jeff Dunham?
Yeah. No, no. I'm picturing a scenario where Dave's like out his window, like, "Yo, shut that dog off, or give it to someone." And the next day he comes outside, it's tied to his fucking door. Oh, fuck
and
me!
And the neighbor's like, "The curse is lifted. It's yours now.
I'm free."
No, I there was a couple times where I threw dog treats over the fence just to get it to shut up for
Lace
a little
with
bit.
Place cyanide.
So I thought that was bad. And then it got worse. I didn't think it could get worse, but to keep it from barking, they bought it a squeaky toy. So now at 3 a.m, there's a squeaky toy.
Yep.
7 a.m, squeaky toy. Just all the time.
It's amazing to me the people who get dogs who shouldn't have dogs. Because it's like, you know, if you are a person who really wants a dog, and let's say you live in an apartment, then get the type of dog you can have in an apartment. Get a 9-year-old, I don't know, fucking lap dog. Get like a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel or something like that. Don't go get like the fucking pit bull that needs to run 2.5 miles a day.
Yes, something that has all this energy to burn and you don't want to...
So down the street from me, I have a shithead neighbor who I cannot stand who has two... gorgeous, playful huskies. And they are...
First of all, you shouldn't have huskies in San Diego regardless. It's just mean because we are way too hot a climate for it.
Yes, there's that. But also, they keep them in not a backyard, which would be nice for these dogs. They keep them in these kennel cages where they're cooped up. Like I've seen them because if you walk down this back alley of my house, mm-hmm. you can see into the backyards. I've seen their conditions. They're cooped up. Mm-hmm. And because they are such... fun-loving dogs, huskies are.
And energetic. They're supposed to be running 25 miles a day pulling a sled through the Iditarod.
They continually dig their way out of these things, hop their fence, so they're constantly in this neighborhood. They're known in this neighborhood for just running around. They're not trying to hurt anybody, but like...
They want something to do.
Yeah, they go to my back fence and see my dogs. My dogs are dog aggressive, so I get worried because they'll get all riled up. But like these dogs are like, hey, play, can we come in? Come on, man, let us in. So these things, and these people just, they don't go get them unless they're like summoned. They're gone all day. And so people keep calling animal control to come get these things and take them to the kennel. There's a fine every time that happens.
Okay.
I followed up on this. They've been fined $500 8 or 9 times, and they just keep letting it happen. They're like, whatever, okay, it's just money.
God. Wow.
I'm like, how do you spend your what do you do?
Also, wait, for that much money, couldn't you build a better fence that they couldn't dig out from underneath?
I'm not getting your logic. First of all, live in a better house if you have that kind of money to just fucking flush down the toilet.
Listen, Ryan, write this on a note and put it on the front of your fridge. Next time you see those dogs running in the neighborhood, call me. I will come and catch them, and I will go to the neighbor's house and say, hey, $500, you want your dogs back?
Well, yeah.
No, I could use a little extra cash. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
dude. The offer's there.
This reminds me of my idea a long time ago, which is we should start a company that pairs up homeless people with guys who have dogs that aren't walking them.
Yeah, that's a good one. Another pet peeve of mine is across the alley from my house, there's apartments.
Right.
And they're not townhouses, they're apartments, mm-hmm. fucking 1 and 2 bedroom. At least 2 or 3 of these motherfuckers all day, there will be a dog on a balcony that's, I don't know, 6 feet by 3 feet, just sitting out there going, I'm like, you cannot have a dog.
Right.
You do not have the space to accommodate a dog. Find a family. I know it's going to hurt your heart. It'll bother him for 10 seconds until they start playing with him. And then, you know what? I'm sorry. It's not fair to lock him out on the fucking balcony that's too small.
Yeah, it's weird that we don't do that with kids. Like, you couldn't just have, like, a kid locked out on the balcony for 6 hours going, woo, like somebody would call child services. But with a dog, they're like, well, he wants a dog, so I guess he has the right to have one.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. My dogs are in my yard all day, but I have a gigantic yard with shade.
A lot of shade, food and water out there.
And I always say this, even during a heat wave or when it's cold, I just say to myself, are construction workers doing it? If a construction worker is doing it, the dog will be okay. If a human should not be expected to be out there, dog can't be out there.
Ryan's dogs are whistling at women that walk by. Hey, baby.
A little bit. I get them the little cute hats. You know, it's a real crowd pleaser.
Yeah, I actually had to go through that once. I've had dogs most of my life. And then when I got divorced, I was living on my own for the first time in a long time, and I wanted to get a dog. So I'd had them for so long,
right.
And I got a dog. I went to the pound. I thought I put enough research and time and thought into it.
What kind did you get?
It was like a pit bull mix.
Turned out to be a wolf.
Yeah. It was actually a human. It was a werewolf. He walked away. No, but I got a pit bull. It was a nice, sweet dog. He's younger. But then after having it for a little while, I was like, I cannot have a dog. It's too much for me as one person. Like the job that I had at the time, the apartment I was living in, I just couldn't do it. So I had to find it a better home.
And you were comic at the time too, right?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So you got to constantly go to, jog
gone at night, gone
during the day,
gone at night. Yeah.
That's a very demanding.
And I hadn't put that much thought into it, but at least I had the foresight or the sense of mind to be like, you know what? This isn't right. I need to find this dog a better place to live.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
More people need to do that.
Yeah. No, I told you what happened, how I got Rufus, right?
I forget.
My then girlfriend was like, I want a dog. And I'm like, well, you're a social worker and I'm a traveling stand-up comic with, also a day job. Like, we don't have the schedules that, but I want a dog. No. Also, we live in an apartment. I want a dog. All right. So my birthday rolls around. I got you a present. I'm like, no shit.
Oh, no.
She's like, yeah. I went to a puppy mill out in she didn't go to it. She phoned up a puppy mill in Ohio, had them shipped out on a plane.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What? And she's like, yep, purebred beagle. Boo! Have you ever owned a beagle? They're loud. So
what?
I'm like, I told you. She's like, it's our dog now. I'm like, and she's like, by the way, I couldn't cover the cost. You owe $300. I'm like,
happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And then she dumped me 3 weeks later and was like, I don't want this. Have it. And so now me and a fucking non-potty trained howling beagle are looking for a room to rent.
Wow.
I show up like, yep, I got two incomes, good credit history, and no evictions. They're like, great. Also a beagle. What?
And then she walks out. Queen of pranks!
I might have a non-ill-behaved puppy.
And one of us doesn't know how to go to the bathroom properly. Yeah. I'll let you guess which one.
Neither. It's neither.
That's
surprise.
Actually, that's a real good burn to pull on somebody, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the nice kick in the pants she sent me away with. That was nice.
That's fantastic.
And before we go, if you want to see me do some stand-up, I am going to be at Tiger Tiger in the North Park neighborhood of San Diego on August 2nd. That's Thursday, August 2nd at Tiger Tiger right there on El Cajon Boulevard if you want to see me do some stand-up. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
Man, I hate black people.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.